We're on the east edge of the Pannon Fork site. This used to be a trailer park, and as of April 1st, all the people had been moved from the park.
It seems like it happened fairly quickly.
For the citizen, when they drove by it, it looked like it happened overnight. But was it, what started happening in October, November, we moved about 8 trailers out. And then you had the natural holiday break, and then we started moving trailers out again in February. And between March 1st and April 1st, I think we moved 24 trailers. So two-thirds of the park was moved in a month. So for most people, that's what they saw.
And so now we kind of see the remnants of maybe what was inside the trailers, you know, on the ground along with concrete, wood.
Yeah, you have all of the utilities that were... they're still in place in on some of the pads where the trailers were, and you can look around and you can see some of the pads have been pulled up and you can actually see the pipe exposed. So like the yellow pipe down there is a gas line.
And this is right across from Town Hall. Have you had people stopping in or even calling and asking, you know, what's happening over here?
Oh, starting in March, we would get people come into Town Hall to say, there's another trailer being moved out of the Pannon Fork. And for us who are working on it every day, we knew there was going to be a trailer every day. And I think what's interesting is the speed at which the citizens thought it was happening, we thought was actually moving slow. So it's just where you were in the process and how involved you are.
And how about the families that were relocated? Have you heard from them? You know, whereabouts are they and how is that situation?
The person that dealt with most of them directly was Judy Tippetts, our assistant town manager. And she was doing a presentation at the high school where a couple girls came up that once lived here and thanked her for all the help that she gave to their family. They're still going to Basalt High School. They were located to either Lazy Glen or Elgerbell. And I think she's received a lot of compliments from the residents. Whatever their concerns, cares, and worries were, she tried to deal with what they had and then to come up with a solution that worked for them. And as I tell people, the official count we think is close to 387 people that live there. We can document 341 names. We didn't get all of the names of everybody that lived here, especially when we had multiple subtenants in some of these trailers.
Once all of this is removed, what happens next?
We're going to finish our community planning process called Our Town Planning. We have sort of three scenarios that have emerged in terms of what this area looks like. In almost every case, a portion, half of it is a park. One of the scenarios shows most of this is a park. A couple show some buildings built on it, but of a character and density that would be similar to Midland Avenue. So I think what you're going to see is a really imaginative development of a park, because we have so many ideas and thoughts about how this could be developed.
The Roaring Fork River runs alongside the site, and crews began repairing the riverbank last fall. Scanlon and I walked along the river's edge, where he described how a levee meant to keep floodwaters out of the trailer park constricted the river and caused erosion.
That channel used to be the same width as that channel. And what happened over time is the water just kept getting pushed, and you can kind of see how it's traveling right now. It gets pushed over there. So when you get into these peak flows, it just kept eroding that bank.
The idea is to widen the skinny channel of the river so it flows like it did 100 years ago. We walk the entire length of the site to its western edge near the restaurant Taqueria El Nopal.
When you look back towards Midland Bridge, you realize how big the site is and how important it is to the community, especially as we invest in it, to make sure that we do a good job.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.